Welcome to Maximum Tourcast, episode number 3. Once again, we have myself, Risto, Gunslinger, and our Reaver server from Cybernetic Punks.
This is Chaz, Sage, Cybernetic Punks.
This is Jang, Commando, Cybernetic Punks.
And Zidane, I am a Shadow Tank with Cybernetic Punks on the Dark Reaper server. Back to Risto.
So, I guess the big question is, what have you guys been doing for the last couple weeks? We've been 2 weeks on since the last episode was recorded. I think it's actually been a little bit more than a week since we released it. But what have you been up to?
Lately, I've been crying a little bit. I've been attempting to sell black hole implants. And nobody on the Republic side wants to buy them at all. Seems like population's a little down. And people are laughing at me when I try to sell them. But a little disheartening. But other than that, starting to learn a little bit more about PvE Sage. Finally got to get through all of Explosive Conflict. Actually do all the bosses. Not just the sandwich sides, the bread, the 1 in 4. So that's all. Not too much. Just starting to get back into PvP, though. What about you, Jubs?
I've been mostly just trying to escape Nar Shaddaa, doing a little of vacationing there, so not too much in-game. Got back and did a little PvP, but really not a lot. What about you, Zidane?
Not too much. I've been leveling my Imperial alts. I've been doing a Imperial operative and PvPing on him while leveling him up. Been a lot of fun with that.
Stupid shank sound.
Yeah, love that sound. And then just the normal raids and stuff. But that's about it on me. What about you, Risto?
Well, actually, with Jang out of town, and Chaz was actually out of town for a little while too, probably the biggest thing that I did was I spent a whole bunch of time on my alts. Since, as we previously discussed, I've got 350s on the Republic side already. I decided to start rolling some of the alts on the Imperial side, so now all of my Imperials have gotten to the point where I can choose their specialization. And I've actually got two of them with ships, although one of them they got their ship at level 12. Because I just decided to let my companion do all the work and only did my class line to get me my ship so I can start doing ship dailies. Other than that, though, yeah, it was a little bit slow. Between finals since the last recording and then people going on vacations and stuff after their finals in college and whatnot, I think it was a little bit slow. We missed a couple ops, but I don't think it really slowed anybody down. And fortunately, this week we got right back into it, so it's been a good week. I guess we should get into our patch notes. Uh, 1.2.4 was released on the 15th, and there's a lot of general and bug fixes involved with it, but let's see. For classes in combat, the guard ability. So Jing will have something. Basically, what was happening, and I know he'd mentioned it to me before, but the guard ability was not, you were not able to reapply it sometimes when a person had died and it was activated on them.
So it would say that person's already guarded. It was super annoying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, you know that with your tank, too, so.
Yeah, well, I think I noticed it a lot more being in PvP because you die a lot and you try and re-guard your healer and it just doesn't work and then you're like, I want to guard my healer, so probably noticed a bit more. Super annoying.
Yeah, so fortunately it looks like they finally fixed that.
Good.
They acknowledged that, yeah, it was happening and now they've gotten around to doing it. Lost Island LR5 Sentinel droid now reliably activates his plasma coils during the encounter. I'm not sure what that means.
I didn't know there was an unreliable way to activate them.
Which one is LR5 Sentinel droid?
That's the big robot.
Is that the first major boss?
Yeah, the first boss. Anarchy boss.
Anarchy boss, really?
So is plasma coils the one we want to interrupt all the time?
No,
no, that's incinerate. Plasma coils is what he does to shoot down his little spikes, his lightning spikes.
Ah, okay.
Because he does that, he does incinerate, he does experimental weapon, plasma arc, and that one.
Okay. PvP. Mini pets can no longer be summoned inside war zones. That's a little interesting. I'm curious why they did that. Were they targetable?
No, but I've seen it before, and Zidane here looked like an idiot when he was walking around as a shadow stealth, and there was a little pet following him.
Oh.
Yeah, it'll follow you.
People just sit there and they're like, really? This guy think he's stealthing? They'd go to him every time, but just boom, right out of stealth.
I completely forgot I had it out, and I was like, how do these people keep seeing me? Because I'd have like super stealth on and stuff, and it wouldn't... Nope.
I was laughing at him. It was hilarious. He's like, oh, man, they keep getting me. I'm like, it's okay. You're a great distraction. I'll kill them.
That's awesome. Okay, so the other thing is, which I've actually encountered this. I know that Q's encountered this, and a few of us have. When you die in war zones and you can't get up, you're stuck dead. They implemented a fix for it, although they say it can still rarely occur. Hopefully that's a BioWare rarely rather than a Blizzard rarely. And what I really like is the Void Star change to the war zone for the characters. You know, people have been exploiting the ability to get out early and go plant bombs and stuff, and every time they fix it, they keep finding a new way to get over the wall. New change. Void Star. Characters that exit the protected spawn area before the match begins are now killed.
Good.
I like that. They don't have to worry about fixing the bugs. How do they get over the wall? Fine, if you go over the wall, you're dead.
Exactly.
Much easier, elegant, efficient fix, in my opinion. And that's it. Yeah. So not a lot, but some interesting stuff.
Yeah. Nothing major, just mostly bug fixes and a couple of little things. Let's go ahead and discuss developer Q&A, the most recent one that came out.
Help you, I can't. Yes.
Had a few things that were interesting worth talking about. The one, I'm just going to kind of do them in order that they were posted. The first one I thought was worth paying attention to was the Alacrity. Person asked, are you going to look into changing Alacrity? Because it seems to be focused towards energy-driven characters like commandos, bounty hunters, agents, and smugglers. But the faster you cast your spells, the faster your energy goes away. And when you're lower on energy, with those classes, the lower your energy, the slower you regenerate energy. So burning it quick is not good. Also, there's some Alacrity talent points in the trees. I'm just curious what BioWare is going to do about that. And BioWare recognizes that it is not really a great system at the time. They're going to look to see how they can adjust Alacrity, and hinted at maybe even doing something about the talented Alacrity. Nothing specific, and they say it's kind of a long-term, looking long-term on that. They don't really have a big deal going with it. The next thing they discussed was companion specs.
I just have a real quick question about that. What do you mean by talent? Are they going to replace talents that give you Alacrity? Or?
It was very non-specific. They weren't going to do any quick fixes. They were going to really examine the issue, and they were discussing changing those talents points that gave Alacrity. How they were going to change them, I don't know. No one knows. I mean, it was just saying they were going to look into it, and it really seems like they're looking to change those talents on the Alacrity.
I'm very curious. Yeah, the reason I'm curious about it is because, okay, on my Gunslinger, I have two talent trees that, at least as far as I know, granted I don't know 100%, but base of the third tree, there are 3 points that you can put, or 2 points that you can put in, and it increases your Alacrity by 4%. But what's the value in that if I don't want Alacrity? And I've definitely encountered in my Gunslinger the fact that Alacrity is burning my energy fast. I'd much rather have crit, surge, power, cunning, anything that boosts my DPS without actually speeding me up because I need to manage my energy. Now, what's interesting about that is actually I've got a burst volley in the sharpshooter tree, which is previously I completely ignored it. It was a proc that would increase my Alacrity, and I didn't want it. But I'm wondering if the changes that they're thinking about doing are for other classes are what they just did fairly recently. I think it was with 1.2 or shortly thereafter. It still increases your alacrity, but at the same time, let's see, 3 points, so it increases your alacrity by 30%. At the same time, it increases your energy regeneration by 50% for 10 seconds, so for the duration of it.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if that's what they're thinking, like skill points that actually give you buffs or whatever, or procs that occur for the alacrity, are they going to give you a resource generation to compensate?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And if they give you a resource generation to compensate, then you're just talking about those classes getting quite an edge up in damage output.
Start stacking their alacrity and using that regeneration resource to put more damage out there. Even if their damage is slightly lower, they're just putting it out faster. So, there's a lot of possibilities. We just have to wait and see what they're going to do. But it is a more long term. They said they haven't even started working on it yet.
So
but
this
they
isn't
do
1.3 at all?
No. This is probably 1.5. They recognize they don't like the way Alacrity is working right now and how it interacts in the game, and they are going to look into adjusting it. Something to look forward to for those of us who it affects. Next is companion specs. Person asked if they could change specs on their companions because you don't like your tank, you want him to be your DPS because you don't need a tank, you want a DPS with you. You don't like healer, if you don't like Doc as a Jedi Knight because Doc's kind of annoying, you'd rather have Kira there healing you, then change the specs so that the person does it. And BioWare stated pretty affirmatively that they are not going to do that.
Good.
The companions are set the way they want them. Those companions have their training and specializations based on the character that they are.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, come on. So, companions, you have 5 for a reason. It covers every base.
Exactly. So they stated very unequivocally that they will not be changing or allowing companion respecking.
I don't know. I could see some people maybe complaining if they're getting their healer a little later, for example. You know, that could be a pain. Especially if you're I don't know, even though the Sentinel got it pretty early, if you were a class, I don't know all of them, but if you didn't get a healer and you needed one, I could see people getting frustrated with that.
As a gunslinger, I got it as my 5th companion, and I didn't have any trouble. I mean, it got really challenging, but as long as I kept Baudar as my tank geared up, you know, you deal with it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Next thing, person complained about Hutball. Are they going to adjust, for example, the Guardian / Juggernaut? Maybe limit some of their abilities because they've got the double leap plus the knockback and they feel like they might be overpowered. But BioWare they stated that they're watching closely.
I was impressed with that, to be honest. I did not realize they were actually watching win ratios some of the advanced classes.
They're not just watching. The post that the guy said, they're watching win ratios based on class
composition.
Composition in each battleground. Like they're watching very closely.
I don't think the Jedi Knight is broken or the Marauder, the Juggernaut. I mean, 2 leaps, okay, I mean, that's nice, but I mean, look at,
Sentinels have the same thing, though.
Yeah, well, don't even
they have
get
one.
Into Sentinels here in a little bit. But,
do they have one? I thought Guardians had 3 and Sentinels had 2.
No, Guardians have 2. They have a leap to an ally to defend them. They have a
Sentinels
leap
have
to the
1.
Enemy. Sentinels have 2 if you spec into the
spec
tree.
Into the,
exactly.
But none of them have 3.
Okay. Yeah, the second.
So
the
Guardians
second
don't have the one that they can spec into. They just have a leap to enemy, leap to friendly.
Correct.
The Sentinels, their second one that you're talking about, it's actually only a 10 meter range. It's
very short.
It's enough to get up on a ledge in Hutball.
It's
enough.
I don't think it goes high enough.
I've seen it.
No, it does.
It's enough very much enough.
Or if you get knocked back, it lets you get back to your target. So
yeah, unless because the knockbacks are based 10 meters, right? I know that there are multiple specs through classes that you can actually increase the range of that knockback, but generally, who cares about increasing that range? Why burn that tile point?
There's a real quick thing they can do on that fix, especially with like pulls, push, like push is usually on a problem, but pulls and leaps, I was discussing this the other day, is what they can do with that is you limit it per match. It's really easy.
Well, here's the thing, is the, there's only two classes that can pull. That's tank spec shadows, so that's a very small portion of your PvP group. And then what other does shadows have any other physics effects?
Vanguards.
Well, yeah, shadow has an AoE knockback.
Okay, so that gives them two physics effects, which is actually a little bit high, especially when it's an AoE knockback and that. So it's a little unbalanced, but you have to be shadow spec, so your damage is a lot lower. So it's kind of, I think, is balanced in that way. Because you're not doing damage, but you're doing a little more CC, doing more tank stuff. The other one is Vanguards. The thing is, the Vanguards only have one physics ability they can pull. That is it. I mean, I know it's annoying. I hate it when I get pulled, but it's the only thing they have.
By
so
physics
I don't
effect,
think
you mean something that moves the person.
Correct. Knockbacks,
so you
pulls.
Don't have the commando AoE knock-up knockback?
No, Vanguards do not have that. The only physics effect where you can move an opponent is their pull. So, really, the only... I can understand people's dislike of the Guardians because they've got that... Excuse me, the double leap and the push. But BioWare is watching it, and they actually find that groups with Guardians don't have any higher of a win rate than ones without.
Yeah, they actually say that I think the best ones are actually the ones that actually have even distribution on advanced classes.
Yeah, that's what they said.
They're not saying, oh, if you get four sages, you're going to win. It's no, actually, if you have a balanced team, you have a better chance of winning than if you're stacking certain people. Yeah.
Because then everybody can fill their role and you can take advantage, because if you have all sages, then, you know, all you have is a knockback.
Team squishy.
Well, yeah, team squishy, but then all you have is that knockback. You don't have the pull if they're starting to get away. You can't push them off a ledge coming up behind them. You know, it's you have to... You
Not
can't
to mention, just... some of your classes, I know Sentinels specifically, even though they do have some of the stun abilities, their big thing is immobilizing. I can immobilize somebody forever as a Sentinel. And if you're not bringing something like that to the table with somebody, you're cutting your team short, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
especially
and the fact that they've got all the immobilizes, and then they've got a targeted reducing accuracy by 90%, they've got a stealth, they've got a shield that reduces their damage by what percent?
Healing reduction as well.
25.
Who is the Sentinels?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
There's more than 25.
There's a 25, and then there's guarded by the Force, which is 99.
They are
99.
By far the
okay,
most,
so it makes them virtually immune.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry, but I've seen it on so many instances. They are the most imbalanced class in the game, and anyone says that they're balanced is retarded. Because when I've done multiple games on multiple occasions where I'll have two or three Sentinels, and we'll have them all down to between 2 and 7% health, and we'll be at half or full health, and they'll kill all of us. And there'll be 3, 4, 5 of us, and they'll still kill all of us. That is imbalanced.
Well,
that's true.
Maybe we should.
We're definitely.
Their,
we should talk
should
about the fact
level.
That this is our podcast today. The focus for today is going to be PvP, and we should probably have this discussion in it.
Yeah,
we're still in Q&A. Let's let Jane go ahead and finish out his
Q&A. also, slightly PvP related, the vendor removal. The reason they gave specifically is the vendor was removed because people were queuing up for PvP while questing, entering the battleground, vendoring, repairing, and then quitting to go back to their quest. So they removed the vendor from all the war zones because of that.
So basically they were using it rather than having to quick travel back to town and then come back
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
Hey, more power to them.
I mean, I think that's humorous. I think I mentioned this to you the other day, Jang, but
yeah.
I feel like there's an easier solution. Mm-hmm. Make it a one-way transaction. You can purchase the items that the battle zone bots have in there, but you can't sell back and you can't repair. But that's probably
it's
harder
easier,
coding. It's easier just to turn it off.
It's easier for them to just turn it off, and then you can buy your stuff from the vendor at the fleet.
Yeah.
That's what they said they were doing. They've been talking about options on how to fix it. I think they were looking at sending it to, what does it say? They're looking on getting rid of the sell and repair functions at the vendor and basically make it to where you can only purchase the consumables. That's what they're actually looking at doing.
Yeah,
I think
that makes sense to me.
Just leaving it to where you can buy it from the fleet, that's fine with me.
I've adapted. This happened so long ago that I've adapted at this point. It was really nice when it was around, but all right, Vanilla Tor.
Yeah, so the next one was offhands. For classes that have non-slottable offhands, commandos, basically if you have a shield generator, everything except for mercenaries and gunslingers, actually. Mercenaries,
right.
Gunslingers.
Sentinels
mercenaries, gunslingers, sentinels, and marauders.
So anyway, non-slottable offhands, they are starting R&D on fixing it to where everyone has slottable offhands instead of just the people who dual wield. So a big
the
thing.
People that are already broken.
Yeah. So that definitely won't be a 1.3.
I honestly don't think the gunslingers or snipers are broken.
No.
You've probably never been on the receiving end of one.
I have. I've had teams against me that they had more than one sniper, but unless they're totally working together as a queued together group of them, yeah, it's really rough, but it's not Sentinels. But we'll talk about that in PvP.
The next thing is crafted gloves and boots. Currently in 1.2, you can only get crafted, augment slotted gloves and boots through the armor kits, the PvP armor kits. You buy the kit, you get all the recipes for all five of the PvP gear. You have to be, for the Battlemaster, you have to be Valor rank 60 before you can equip them. So unless you're doing PvP up the Battlemaster, at least, you don't get your PvP or your slotted, augment slotted gloves and boots. 1.3, they stated specifically that they are going to have 75 new patterns for gloves and boots each. So there will be tons of gloves and boot patterns coming out. They're going the different ways. And the reason they don't have a box for PvE gear the same as they do for the PvP gear is the PvE, you can't, to get that look on the gear.
So is that what it's about? It's about the look?
Yes, because think about it. To get the PvP gear look in that augment slotted, you have to earn your valor. You have to
I totally get that. It's just
Master
like, I don't really, there are a lot of classes and a lot of specs on classes that don't like the look of their in-game content.
Correct.
And the ability for someone like you, who's Armor Mech, to be able to craft them and give them a diverse option of looks with a bunch of different items, that's very appealing to a large number of people, even non-RP people.
Even especially if you're a sage and you have that stupid hat.
Yeah, exactly. Sages hate their hat. I hate my hooker boots. You know?
Well, 1.3, I'm imagining if they have 75 different boots and gloves apiece, that they're going to have all sorts of other gear as well. But they were addressing specifically gloves and boots in this question.
It's just really humorous to me that they were thinking that, you know, getting to Battlemaster was equivalent to purchasing enough campaign gear that you were comfortable reverse engineering it to hopefully get the skin schematics for it.
Well, I mean, it is not exactly equivalent, but if they just offered, you know, the schematic kit for 50K, then you can have this, you know, campaign look. I mean, it's not equivalent.
No, I don't mind that. Yeah, the package thing, I think that's kind of a baloney answer. Like, they should you know, complete looks of the sets that were out there that didn't have boots and gloves. They were all about the fact that they're tying in all of the colors and functions of the Unify to chest. It was about the chest. Then why can't I get boots and gloves that look like, outside of color, the chest?
Yes. Well, I mean, it's something that they're basically, at this point, it's kind of...
No, I'm really glad they're finally addressing
it. They are working towards that.
Do you know if they're doing wrists and belts?
Fixing that. I don't know anything about that. I doubt they will. They'll probably just be an advantage for the armor crafters to where you can get the augmented ones. But other than that, I don't know. And that would, well, I guess if you can do slottable ones, I haven't seen anything about it. I doubt they'll do anything for it. Just let you use your two slot ones as is. The last thing of significance that they mentioned was add an augment, where you take a augmentation kit and you apply it to a piece of gear that has no augment slot, and it therefore gains one. So instead of crafting a piece and waiting for it to proc an augment slot, you go ahead and apply, you create one for it. You make it slottable. They no timetables, nothing like that, but they said that the person was asking how the mechanics of it would work. It will be, you will get the augmentation kit, crafters will create the augmentation kit, and you apply that with a credit fee to put the augment onto your piece of gear. That's the last thing of significance in the Q&A. There were a couple other things, but nothing really that I thought was worth talking about.
I guess that's, it kind of reflects back onto what I was just saying. If they are actually going to allow you to make augment kits, mm-hmm. then you no longer need to make wrists and waists that have augment slots in them, because I can now, or not augment, but mod slots on them, mods and armor.
Yeah.
Because now I can put an augment onto it. It's the only piece of quote-unquote clothing that I can wear that I can't get augment slots on.
Yeah, but that is speculation, because they did not specify what you could put the augment slots on. It might just be the primary five armor pieces and your weapon, and offhand, I imagine.
Zidane, you are Artifice.
Yep.
Are there any plans that you know of for trinkets that you can proc augments on and sell to other people or give to guild members?
No.
Does question. Also related, campaign gear is reverse engineerable to get the plans. Do you know if it is that case for the relics?
I doubt it. I believe that was addressed. I'm not 100% sure, but as far as I know, they kind of did it to where, because I can't even make campaign, because when, like, actually no, I do know that for a fact, because I have a campaign relic and I cannot, there is no 20% or anything to proc.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I that is one thing I did when I bought it. That's what I was going to do, and just farm dailies until I got it. And that's right. Yeah, I do remember that. Uh-huh. Nope. Okay. Highest Artifice can make is Ricotta Exceptional.
Okay. I guess that makes sense, right? Because the relics are purchasable through dailies, yep. Not through Black Hole Commendations.
Correct.
And you said you haven't seen anything about... Wait. That's right, because the dailies are campaign, not Black Hole.
Yep.
Correct.
Okay, yeah. That's...
So, are there Black Hole relics?
No.
Okay.
No. And so, that's what he... But Artifice still has the advantage of being able to make the endgame 41 crystals, but they don't proc augments. They can make them for other people. Going through like all the professions. Jing has the opportunity to proc augments for crafted materials, and because he's also an augment creator, he'll be able to make augment slots, presumably. I'm assuming that they're going to let the Arms Tech, Armor Mech, and Synth Weavers all create the, you know, attached to what you want.
Yeah, or they might put it to someone else. I mean, it's possible. We'll just have to wait and see.
Actually worth giving to the Artifice if they can't sell their relics.
Yeah, exactly. It might be worthwhile. So we'll just have to... Actually, no. Artifice would be perfect for that. They might be the ones that get it, and it would make sense to give it to them. But they might break it up like they did with augment creation and say that, you know, Arms Tech makes it for weapon offhand, Armor Mech makes it for chest and pants, and Synth Weaver makes it for helms, and Armor Mech makes it for heavy.
Heck,
and
they
medium.
They could even make it, you know, makes it for light, bioanalysis medium. Makes it for implants.
Yeah.
Or not, so. Biochem, I mean. Well, yeah. So anyway, let's talk about the state of PvP.
Corona,
So, I of course, I enjoy my PvP a lot. I'm very close to War Hero. Probably, we'll go back to the Hutball discussion. You know, that's pretty lively. They're watching it, making sure it stays balanced. I feel like it's pretty balanced. If they notice anything, I'm sure that they'll do something about it. Hopefully, you know, we haven't seen them neglect any issues, and they definitely pay attention if the community is paying attention, and they're paying attention to stuff that we're not. So,
I'm going to be perfectly honest. When we're talking about Hutball, I actually have more of a problem with Sentinels in Hutball because, and this is where we kind of cut off, and now we're coming back, of all of the defenses that are pretty incredible for Sentinels, because not only do they have the 99% no damage taken, and they've got the 25% damage reduction, and they've got the stealth breaker, but on top of all of that, they also have an immunity to all CC.
Sentinels don't have a CC immunity.
Are you sure?
No, they don't. Yes.
Is that Guardian then?
I don't play Guardian. I don't know.
I can't tell you. The only class that I know of that has CC immunity is the DPS middle spec Vanguard, the gut Shadow. Spec. Shadows have
Shadow
it as well.
Shadow with Resilience.
Okay, Shadow with Resilience. Well, the Vanguard one is specifically no CC movement and parrying, no physics effects, you know, so knockbacks. It's 8 seconds of immunity there, but that's only in one spec of the Vanguard.
I swear, I feel like the Sentinels do, because in PvP, particularly in Hutball, I've noticed, when I start throwing CC at them, it doesn't work and they have no resolve bar. It's completely empty resolve bar, and I've seen them leap to somebody, go charging through, and like I go to CC them right as they hit the fire, and they just keep right on running, and I try to throw another CC at them, and they just keep right on running.
I don't know. I've not experienced that. I was pretty sure
it was a dual wielder, but it was definitely somebody that leapt, and it was a force user. So it was either Guardian or Sentinel.
Well, yeah. So it might be Guardian. We'll have to look into that and see if we can figure it out. But I think the biggest thing for Sentinels in Hutball is their snares and slows, because the ball carrier, you only get 2 stuns on a ball carrier. But that snare, the snares and slows that the Sentinel has, especially if you are combat spec, because that's the one that
I'm playing right now as well.
I mean, you have two snares and like 3 slows.
Yeah, your leap slows, your master strike can ensnare. Sorry, your leap ensnares. Your master strike can ensnare. Crippling throw can ensnare. You still have your slow.
Yeah, and
then you can still lift them up in the air.
Yeah, exactly. You have your hard stun on top of that. So I mean,
and
can lift them in the air.
Yeah.
It's four.
Is that like
stages,
a choke on Marauder?
It's
the equivalent. Okay. Instead of holding their throat, they just kind of thrash around in the air. It's the less threatening. They crush your whole body instead of just your throat.
Yeah. That's nice of them. They're so nice.
Yeah. Yeah, they want, you know. But
4 of those abilities don't affect your resolve bar at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Only the four
stasis. All the rest of those are
and all three ensnares do not affect. Well, ensnares don't affect a resolve bar no matter who you are. It's just that the Sentinels happen to have so many of them with that spec.
Yeah. I mean, Sentinels in Hutball, they do unreasonable amounts of damage in PvP. PvE is about balance, but in player versus environment, it's pretty balanced. But for PvP, Sentinels do unreasonable amounts of damage for their survivability. But their snares are pretty much the only, other than their damage, they do the damage, so that's needed. But as far as Hutball goes, the only thing they provide outside of damage is their snares, which is pretty big. You know, they're on
make good ball carriers because of a 30-point transcendence, which allows them to run fast and the ability to leap, and they have decent survivability.
Let me summarize for you. Marauders are broken. They're broken. That's it. There's no discussion of moves. They are broken. They are a broken class. There's no way around it. Like, they are broken as hell. It's just a fact. Like,
I don't know, dude. I think they need to buff them a little bit.
No, there's no way. If Sentinels don't get, like, debuffed or nerfed in the next, like, 2 months, I don't know what BioWare's excuse would be, because there's no way that class is balanced in any way, shape, or form. Not even close.
Perfectly balanced.
Just to rehash, we are talking about PvP. Definitely broken for PvP.
Come on, count it up. It trolls the Dane a little bit here.
As far as PvE goes, that's different. But PvP, they're broken. Straight up.
I'll tell you this, having played one, the big thing, you can't blow your CC early on them. If you blow your CC early on a Sentinel or Marauder, that's when they're going to destroy you. Because their resolve bar, once it turns white, that's when they're the deadliest.
But that doesn't even matter. I'm a Jedi Shadow tank, and I have three different stuns, and two of them that won't even get the resolve bar up, and they still will just waste me.
Their damage is high for PvP, but that
they're
is
not
the
their
one.
Damage.
No, their damage is high. Their survivability is broken, and now you're telling me that they have a bunch of crowd control.
I'm trying to get to the survivability. The only trick, only thing I have to offer is, like Chaz says, you have to save your CC for when they pop their I can't be hit anymore 90% reduced damage. That's when you CC them.
How long does it last?
They pop out of that.
Give me timers.
They pop out of that.
Give me timers on all these abilities.
They break out of my CCs.
Most of their cooldowns are 2 to 3 minutes. And they last, the 99% reduction lasts, what, 4 seconds? 5 seconds?
Well, exactly, because what they do, I can tell you, every Sentinel, if you're playing against a smart Sentinel or Marauder, what they'll do is they'll go in there, they'll beat everyone, just the crap out of them, and then when you have them down to set between 2 and 7%, that's when they'll pop everything, whether you CC them or not. And they'll burn you down because you've already been hurt, because you've already been in a fight. You'll pop a med pack, they'll burn right through that. Then your reinforcements will finally kill them. And then by the time that you even try to take that, the other ones are back. And guess what? All their cooldowns are back. Their cooldowns need to be increased by at least another minute, or they need it to not
last
nearly as long.
They just don't need so much.
I think that you're confusing the fact that, I guess in solo queue, where you're gonna have other people just saying, oh my god, there's somebody, let me just stun him. But if you're smart, like...
No.
And you're holding off, I think it's completely different.
People, I don't believe it.
Nope, not even close. Dude, I play in pre-made PvPs all the time. It does not matter. You cannot... When I watched one Sentinel against three, a tank, a healer, and a DPS, and we were all full health, and he started full health, and he killed all three of us? No.
How many of y'all slowed him? Because
I did.
Can't do anything if you're not near him. Or if he's not near you. So he'd have 5 seconds to try to kill you.
No. It's not even 5 seconds. That's all they really need. Because if you're in a fight, and they do their little healing moves, and they heal themselves up, and they pop all that CC... trust me, it happens. I would not be this passionate about it if it didn't happen all the time. And not necessarily against the best players. A Sentinel in general. A Marauder in general. They are a broken class. You cannot argue otherwise. They are broken at PvP.
The thing is that how do you get away from them? They can get on top of you. You can knock them away. They can break that or just leap right back to you.
Well,
they have all of their defensives. They keep them alive. And now, I didn't even know this before, but now you're telling me they also have twice as many crowd control effects, slows... disables whatever else than my gunslinger does, and twice as many of the defenses that I have, and their durations are longer. My 100% dodge lasts 3 seconds, and you say all of their stuff lasts 4 to 8 seconds.
Do you have an AoE knockback?
I do have one.
So they get on top of somebody, they blow these cooldowns or stop you from attacking. That's all they have.
Okay, so I AoE knock them back, and then they jump back on me.
No,
now what do I do?
Hold on. One spec of a Sentinel, there's three different specs.
I understand
only
that.
One spec
they're
specking
for it, though, because I keep seeing them jumping back at me after I knock them back. If I don't instantly knock back and leg bind, they're on me immediately. I have to leg bind them before they land, or else they're back on me.
Aren't you a gunslinger? Aren't you, if you're in cover, how can they jump at you?
They
I don't know. They do it.
They don't do it.
Choke. That's why Choke breaks it. For some reason, and I think this is a bug, because I've read all of my tool tips, even when I'm hunkered down and everything else, Choke breaks my take cover. So they leap onto me and choke me.
So, no, they don't leap onto you and choke you. They run up to you and choke you, and then you knock them back, and it's any Sentinel could do this now. Now they're using their leap.
I didn't think
it's not their talent.
And the other thing is that it's directional, and a lot of times they leap on me and they get behind me. If they're behind me, they can leap back onto me.
No, you can't.
Whether or not I'm in cover. Oh, no, they can. Anybody can.
I've never been able to do it on either my tanking Vanguard or on my Sentinel. I cannot.
It's a much narrower cone than you would expect it to be. It's not like 180 degrees. It's more like 45 behind.
I want to try this out.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. I mean, I could be wrong. I just know that Sentinels, I can't keep them off of me. There's nothing I can do.
Okay, so Sentinels are broken.
Allegedly.
Let's not have... I mean, we're trying to discuss all of PvP, not how Sentinels are broken in PvP. So, Hutball, basically pass the ball a lot. That's
I did want to say one more thing about Sentinel real quick, and then we really can move on. One of the more frustrating things, because Chaz was earlier talking about the fact that Gunslingers are also kind of broken. Gunslingers have the ability to give a reduced healing effect to somebody, right? And so do Sentinels. Sentinels and Gunslingers, one key fundamental difference, on top of the fact that they have more CC and they have more defensive abilities than a Gunslinger, they also can get health back. I have no abilities or anything, except maybe putting some talent points into my energy resource return. I have no ability to give health back to myself.
None. That's only one spec.
I understand that, but I have no
specs. Primarily the PvE spec. It is not... I know some guys like to do it PvP, but that is generally considered a PvE spec. And it is... The returns on it are pretty small. It can make a difference in a one-on-one duel, definitely.
On my Marauder, it's been huge, but I could be...
But, I mean...
You know, it could be delusional.
Yeah. So...
It's based off a crit, but, you know...
Yeah.
When you can, if you're critting every single time you hit, and all of your dots are critting and giving it back too, it's 1% every single tick, and there's no cooldown on it.
It happens
a lot, you know.
We've gone on about it. It's obvious that
that's a big difference. Let's go.
Sentinels
on.
Need to
no,
get
not
a stick.
Not
So we will go on. Back to Hutball strategy. As far as Hutball strategies go, passing the ball, I feel like, is the key. If you're holding the ball too much, then, I mean...
You will get blown up.
Yeah, the only time I am for holding the ball is if you are a tank-specced character in tanking PvP gear and you have a dedicated healer. Then
I have
you
a
can
second.
Hold the ball. You have a second.
Yep.
What is your second?
If you're in the middle.
If you're in the middle...
You're up, you know, you pick up the ball and you're stuck and you're freaked out. Uh-huh. And you see a gunslinger who's in cover or a sniper who's in cover.
Uh-huh.
And they're above everybody and there's no one nearby him. And the whole enemy team is down there trying to take you out. Throw it to him. He's going to be up there and nobody can get up to him, you know, for 20 or 30 seconds because they got to run around and climb up there. And he has the time to pass it on. He is not going to break cover because as soon as he does, he's going to have three or four people leaping onto his face or yanking him down. But it's a safe spot to throw. As long as he's smart enough to throw it right away.
Yeah, and that's the thing is people don't want to throw the ball backwards. But sometimes it's good just to throw the ball backwards and keep possession.
I was actually mentioning it because I was forwards today.
Well, a lot of the times gunslingers sit back so that way they don't have opponents coming up behind them. But, I mean, it's all about positioning. Don't run next to your ball carrier. Try and run ahead of them so they have someone to pass to forward. Spread out. You know, once the ball carrier's got it, if you spread out a bit, have a couple people run with them, but... You want to have people so they have somewhere to pass to.
I actually think that it's better to hold the mid, have a couple of people holding the mid, because everybody seems to get drawn once you start pushing forward in putt ball. Everybody's always going to want to converge on the ball carrier. So also, you know, spread out, use your multiple tiers because it really screws people over. But have somebody waiting at mid. Also, don't push too far forward because you give them an easy counterattack coming right after it. Mm-hmm.
I just don't like hutball in general. I'm more of a fan of the other ones. Hutball is so disheartening just because people are retarded. And yeah, it's really just like 12 minutes of a waste of my time. I would much rather, I can't wait until they finally have like where eventually it'll be developed to the point of where you can choose what battleground you want to go into. And I will never play hutball again. If I had the choice, I'd never play it. It is not fun to me. It is annoying, aggravating, because people are retarded. People don't know how to play their classes in that match. They're just all doing their own thing. They're never working together. They're never coordinating. They're never doing anything correct.
Yeah.
And so in general, it's just 12 minutes of me putting my blood pressure through the roof. So now normally if I get put in a hut ball, I'll start playing. And so I'm one of those guys. If I'm not playing with someone else I know, I'll just occasionally hit forward, get out of the starting area, and just get the points because I'm not going to waste my time and effort.
Well,
it's not. I'm not going to have 12 minutes of not having fun. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, and that's why they have the medal system, is so that way, you know, people can't just sit there and hit forward. You don't get crap for your 12 minutes unless you participate. So.
But that's one thing I have to give BioWare credit for. Now you do get credit since they switched everything. Now you know you get two. Yeah, you get two wins or two whatever it's called now. Two wins for every
for every
two losses
played for a win. One played for a loss.
But you don't get any valor or commendations, or you get very little valor and commendations for not participating. You know, you get 2,000. Of your roughly 3,000 for a win from participating and getting your 8 medals. And you have to get at least 3 medals to even get...
Nope, they reduce it to 1.
They reduce it to 1?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I missed that.
You don't need any of it.
Okay.
You've been out a little bit, we'll excuse it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Too much gambling on that, should I?
Yeah, exactly. But, so you have to participate. And, you know, sometimes I really hate hutball because, you know, your team's just being stupid, or they're just running around in your own pit and letting the opponent run over the top with no problems. But, I mean, I enjoy hutball a lot, especially if it's a very competitive game.
Novara Coast, in my opinion, is 10,000 times better.
Novara Coast is probably the best one out right now.
I don't know. I'm really curious to see about multi-queue. When you can queue in with an operations group.
Oh, so then we can have 10 marauders in a match? Yeah, that's a great idea.
Well, there's only 8 on each side. Just so that you know.
So you can't
8
have
max, the 10 doesn't have...
That's what I mean. I'm just saying. I'm exaggerating.
No. I get it, but honestly, I'd like to see how that played out.
The hut ball with the organized groups.
They have no healers. I mean, it'll be interesting. I really do think that if... You could have 8 marauders, and they could all go nuke down targets one by one, and they're all working together. But if you've got a huge, you know, group, an 8-man group that are all on vent or team, whatever it was used to be called, and
team speak.
I've tested the theory. I've had full teams go against multiple marauders, and you lose.
I think there's a major strength. And we've already talked to the fact that they're a little bit broken. But I do think
stop
that
with
the hutball...
damn Sentinel Marauders.
Yeah, exactly. We need to move on from that.
Drove this one into the ground.
Exactly.
As it should be.
From here on out,
however, let's say...
that they're broken,
okay.
And that will be part of the mindset going forward.
Exactly.
Now,
assume they're broken and they get fixed. Okay?
Exactly. Now you
hutball, I think, has more opportunity for strategy than Novara Coast. However... I like Novara Coast better than everything else.
Yeah.
And I like Novara Coast better than Hutball when I can't queue up with 8 people.
Yes. And the reason I like Novara Coast so much is because, unlike Alderaan, you have to control 2 of the 3. You can't control two, and then, okay, now we're locked to where we only have to hold one.
Exactly.
You have to hold two all the time. So there's a constant pushing, pulling, the shifting of the teams trying to get hold of two and then keep it.
Yeah, I mean, there's never some, let's just sit back and camp.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, we've got two, let's just sit on our two bases and defend them.
Well, what
and
I also like, okay.
Now we only need one.
Because I think we're skirting around a primary statement that a lot of people were thinking about Nowhere Coast before it came out. A lot of people were thinking that Nowhere Coast was a reinvention of Alderaan or Civil War. And it's not, right?
No, it's very different. The landscape's different. The way you turn...
The way you turn points is different. It's a much smaller map. The placement of the buffs that you can pick up when you're running around are much more relevant. It's much more dynamic. You've got the central location that's directly between the two, and then you've got the east and the west that you can get to going out a northern exit on either side. But holding any of those three does not have a primary advantage.
Yeah. So I enjoy Novar. I think it's the best one, the most balanced, the one that keeps the pace going and the most interesting and the most dynamic with the fact that you can be really close or really far to turn the panel. It really adds an element because I know sometimes I'll just be fighting some guy right on the edges of in range and he'll die and then I'll just click on the panel and I'll start turning it. I've had a couple times I've turned it all the way, a couple times where I get a few ticks turned over, but a fun one altogether.
Yeah, the channel
Although
turning
I will
is
say,
really nice.
One of the most annoying things about it.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking damage. We're taking damage. We're taking damage. Oh my God! Shut up.
Yeah, yeah. He talks way too much.
Oh come on! It's nowhere near as bad as C2N2.
Yeah, it's good to get the indicator, but it is a bit annoying sometimes. Alderaan, somewhat similar, three towers to capture, but...
All right, burr in my own bonnet.
Yeah,
I hate when I walk into a war zone and they say, all right, me and so-and-so are going left. So-and-so is covering. Everybody else go mid.
Yeah, I mean, Alderaan is not a very dynamic or anything.
I think it can be, though. I think the people are so focused, hyper-focused on everybody mid... Two people one side. And it's a bad idea. Yeah. Because...
I never do mid.
Yeah.
I never do mid.
Yeah. I never do mid either. You go right where they don't expect you to go right. When I go right with at least one or two of you guys, I win every time.
Yeah.
And even if you don't... Because you don't have to take it. It's the fact that they have to send more resources to it.
Yeah. Because sometimes we cap it. Not that often. Most of the time we stop.
Most of the time we do.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a good 80% that we do turn it.
Yeah. If we have enough player, if it's just two of us queued, then
it's probably 60% with two.
Probably like But if there's three of us, we usually capture it. But here's the thing: is if we go over there, 90% of the time, we even if they have someone covering, we get there in time to stop them from capping it initially.
Yeah.
It's
that
not
interrupt
a free,
is a big
not
deal.
Not free tower. Yeah, it's not a free tower for them right off the bat. Second, we get over there, we fight it. Sometimes we take it. You know, we have a good amount of times that we capture it. Well, they're gonna freak about that. They're like, what? They got left? Go left. Get left. You know, just hold mid neutral. Let's just go get our tower.
Let's
back.
Say snow.
So
we're Republic. It's snow.
Yeah. So. They're fighting over that. They're coming after that. Say we only hold it for two ticks as our tower. That's fine. Usually we have two towers at that point because we get our defensive left or the one that's to our left, which would be grass. I mean, we usually get that, and then we have two mids neutral, so it gets us a good usually about 40 to 50. Point lead with the new 10 point per tick setup. So, I mean, that's pretty substantial. And usually when they're pushing to take recapture that left side,
I guess the lesson here, people, is there's no cookie cutter for this. It's dynamic. Stop saying, this is what we're going to do right off the start.
Yeah. Try something different. because it can be an exciting game. The only thing that I dislike about the thing that I really dislike about Alderaan is I feel that like once the initial towers are captured, it does change time to time, but I pretty much feel like
it's hard to break the initial.
Yeah, once the towers are set the first time, that's pretty much how that game's going
to
go.
At the same time, one of the reasons I really prefer to send more than two people to the right is because the other team never does.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get right and left, even with the changes to the speed or speed getting to those locations, being able to go directly to them is faster than going directly to the middle.
Yeah.
Right and left is an easier defense.
Yeah, exactly. It's easier to defend the sides than the middle.
Yeah.
So owning the middle is definitely, or owning the sides is definitely the best, and the middle is the weak. The one upside to it is if you are defending the mid, you can get to the sides very quickly than if you're going from side to side. It's only on the respawn
that you have
the advantage of getting back to the towers.
I would love to see, as soon as multi-queue pops up that you can do more than four, we need to take a group in and do three to the left, four to the right. Don't go to the middle at all.
Well, where's that last person going? Three to the left, four to the right?
I'm sorry, yeah. Three to the left, five to the right. My math is bad.
Y'all said sentinels are broken. Okay. Just send a sentinel to the mid.
Yeah, exactly. Send a sentinel in. Keep them busy. Or actually, that would even work. Send a tank mid with high survivability where they just go and keep them from capping it while you take the right and the left.
Yeah, because I know that with my tank, I can, with my Vanguard tank spec, tank gear, PvP gear, I go in there, I pop my my shield and my tanking trinket. I'm good for, I can have like 8 people on me and I'll still be good for 10-15 seconds before they can kill me.
I know it came up again, the broken sentinels, but let's be honest though, in any war zone, I have more of a problem with smuggler healers.
I hate them. I really do.
Like operatives
or sentinels kill people a lot, but the smugglers.
But smugglers don't let you.
operatives. I mean,
operatives are scoundrels.
Operatives and scoundrels. They just run away. They instant cast heal. I mean, you need more than two people to kill one.
Kick you in the nuts.
Yeah, you have to have more than two people, or you have to have two people. Well, if you have a Marauder or a Sentinel there, you're good to go because they get the interrupt for the occasional cast, and then they slow them so they can't run away. But you pretty much need to have two people on them to make sure that you can kill them. One person alone. I don't even know that a Marauder and a Sentinel could do it, but maybe.
That's why I say some of the most dangerous stuff is when you get Marauders with operative healers. It's a nasty, nasty combo.
Yeah, this is something I'd like to see also. I feel like an operative on their own is impossible to beat on your own.
Yeah.
But they're worthless. Period. They're worthless if you have anybody with you.
Sentinel is
I'd really like to see an operative DPS combined with an operative healer and run that together, or scoundrel.
Yeah.
I don't think it would work. I think the amount of CC people would be doing to the DPS would...
I don't know.
Because
CC,
wouldn't
last
operatives
forever.
And scoundrels have a ton of CC.
Yeah, and here's the thing is you have...
They can do it back.
They can CC the DPS, but they're
going to... And they can both stealth in for it.
Yeah, they're going to max out their resolve bar quickly, and then he's free. That operative or scoundrel is free to just do damage. And we all know that healer is going to be able to keep them alive, especially if they're focused on the damage dealer.
Here's another big one, which I hadn't thought about at all, but we know that Chaz plays a Sage healer, and myself and Zidane have commando healers, and both of them can cleanse CC. The smuggler healer cleanse as much CC as we can?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know what their cleanse is like.
Query of the week.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's a big question. If they've got stealth heals and a cleanse like that, and it doesn't matter what spec you are, you've got that cleanse so that you're not even DPS, then that duo combo could be huge.
Level. Yeah. So, last Warzone to discuss, Voidstar. I think it's vanilla Warzone. If it's two teams that are fairly balanced, the only reason you're going to capture a door is carelessness or just bad luck on the door spawns.
That's the biggest one is door spawns. I swear there's sometimes I feel like my whole team dies, and right when my whole team dies, all of a sudden the door goes up. And then other times I feel like, okay, we killed them all, and as soon as I look up at the door, I'm like, ah, crap, they're all coming out.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, we killed them. We've got this one last guy. We're pulling away and CCing. We've got a guy, and then they're all, like, all seven of them are rolling out of that door and stop, you know, and getting there in time.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, if all teams are balanced, same gear.
As far as gear and...
Honestly, just gear. Let's just talk about gear. If everybody has the same gear, Voidstar is a stupidity check.
Yeah.
It really is. And for God's sakes, people, call Ink before you fight. I mean, like, if you see them coming, say, oh, I got Ink. And if they're right on top of you, like, they come out of stealth, type, help, this side
what?
Now.
Common sense? You ask the impossible, sir.
Not when eight people can queue together.
Because here's the thing, is with Voidstar, it's keep one eye on the door, one eye on your target. If you're on the side where it's... Because there's always one heavy fighting side and one light side. If you're on the side where they're not fighting a lot, if you need help, you need to make sure you call for it and keep one eye on the door.
The thing
and when
is,
you can, you keep both eyes on the door. If there's no one there and you're standing there by yourself, turn around and face the door, and you'll know they're there behind you when they attack you.
Honestly, if you've got a stealther, you just stand by the side where the major force is not pushing. If somebody shows up, you're in stealth, and they show up, you say, all right, Commando, Gunslinger, Sage, DPS, one of you, come over here, help me kill this one guy that showed up. Before you even have to engage, you sit back and you wait. You let them start channeling, and then you do a little CC on them. And if you're like a shadow, you can throw your CC on them and they can't do anything and you don't even break stealth.
Yeah, and then another thing is sometimes is say there's that one person guarding that side and you just sit there and stealth. Don't try and take them one-on-one.
No. You say something and then
you
go
engage.
Yeah,
you say something, but even if no one shows up to help you, just stay stealth. Wait. Play the patient game. If that person sees no action, they're going to get bored. They're going to stop paying attention to the door. They're going to go to where they can kind of shoot some of the people in the middle.
Oh, if you're on the offense, yeah.
Yeah, if you're on the offense, you know, that person will leave that door. They'll start shooting someone who's kind of in the middle. They won't really be paying close attention. And then you can wait for the opportunity to be ripe, try and cap the door. But once again...
Yeah, there's a lot of... There's very few people that are as patient as I am that I just will not do anything.
Yeah.
Because it's true. There's a huge pull where it's like, I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing anything. I'm not getting medals. I'm not getting medals. I need to go over there.
I'm not getting my medals. I need to go get my medals. I need to go to the other side so I get my medals. Because that's where the fighting is. Nothing's going on here. So, I mean, that's... But
I'd rather
still,
wait for the weekly, to be honest.
Yeah. As long as you got one eye on the door and you call your inks and call if you need help when you're on the weak side, you should be good. I mean,
oh, something that we should mention, I don't think we mentioned in our past podcast, a change to the game that I do think is important that everybody should talk about. Hmm. You can now hotkey targets.
Oh, yeah, the target markers, the raid target markers, you can hotkey them. I recommend F1 through F8. I think there's eight of them.
I thought that was brilliant.
That's what I've always done, because I never use them.
Where do you do that, by the way?
It's going to be key bindings.
Under your preference menu, key bindings, targeting.
Targeting, yeah. It'll be its own subcategory. But, so you can hotkey them. I mean...
I would say, just straightforward, it doesn't matter what group you're with. Usually when you're CCing, there are four. You always know which are the first four targets that you hit. So for us, it's Flame, Lightning...
Yeah, for PvE or PvP. I mean, if you're
no,
a raid
but for
leader,
our PvE ops, it's Flame, Lightning, something shield.
It's not Lights, really.
Yeah, lightsaber shield. But I think we've even been changing that because that's great for me as a DPS. I'm never setting it up. But for PvP, when I go in there and I see a healer, I haven't set up my first four yet. But I set up F5. That is a blaster, right? Yeah. Nobody tends to use that as a default targeting icon, so I threw out the blaster, like the ones that people don't tend to use in war zones to target healers, but we all know what they mean.
Mm-hmm.
Make one of those exactly. yours. I mean, it changes from server to server or whatever, but when you know what everybody else is using, hotkey a different one. So that you can at least target one healer.
But hotkey, those hotkeyed is great, because it's great for if you're a PvPer, you want to have them hotkeyed so you can target those, mark those healers for everyone and for yourself.
Yeah.
And then if for PvE, if you're ops leader, raid leader, if they give you, you know, lieutenant status in your operation, it just, you can set up your pools a lot quicker. But, you know, that's about,
work smarter, not harder, right?
Exactly. So, I'm thinking next episode we're going to be talking mostly about leveling.
Tie that into Legacy really well, too.
Actually, I guess we should say next week we're going to be talking about alt leveling.
We'll discuss a little about primary, your initial character
level. We all might have a couple of those rolling around, huh?
Yeah, but it will be mostly about alt leveling.
I don't mind rehashing. Jing, what are your characters that are at 50?
I've got my my Vanguard, I've got my Trooper, and my Sentinel in reverse order of attaining level 50.
Chaz, how about you?
I got a Sage and a Sentinel.
Two, okay. Zidane, yourself?
I have a Shadow and a Commando.
That's right. All right, and I've actually got a Gunslinger, a Commando Healer, and a Shadow Tank, which is great. So. Because I know that Zidane always played his Shadow DPS, and then you went tank as a primary tank for the ops after me. But I had my tank, but my Commando's a healer, and your Commando's a DPS.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's really nice with Legacy system that we have any two of us, other than Raisto and Zidane, have all four buffs among us.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll discuss more about leveling. Next episode, how it ties into Legacy, benefits thereof. But I believe that's pretty much all for this episode. It's been fun yet again. Hope you'll join us next week. If you have any questions or comments or additions, you can get a hold of us at maxtorcast@gmail.com. I believe Raisto has a Twitter as well. What's that one, Raisto?
It's Raisto J, at Raisto J. My legacy name is Jade, so Imperial or Republic side.
At Raisto J. Also, we have our Cybernetic Punks gaming community, which is also our guild. We're part of that gaming community, and we have a forum there, and there is a podcast-specific forum. You can put questions and such there as well, and we'll respond to ones that we like, even if we think they're going to get good discussion and be relevant. So
that website for the guild forum would be www.cyberneticpunks.com, and then you'd hop into the forums tab, and we're under the tour guides.
There you go. And that's about it. Everything for us this week, and may the Force be with you.
Hey guys, one second.
Disgusting, man.